Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hey, welcome to Phoenix Business Radio. Today we are broadcasting live from Phoenix Startup Week, and we are at Park University in beautiful, sunny Gilbert, Arizona, and I'm actually looking out the window right now at trees blowing in the wind, which is a rare treat for us here in Arizona. We have been having a blast today. This is day five of Phoenix Startup Week, and the theme this year is Thrive Together, and our volunteers, our sponsors, our speakers, I mean, the energy is just off the charts for this week, and we're happy to be here. I'd like to introduce you to my co-host today, Jacqueline DeStrems, who's with Another Hand Advantage, and she also has her own radio show and podcast out of Phoenix Business Radio called 3C Amplified. Welcome, Jacqueline.
Thank you.
Have you been having a great time this week?
I've been having a great time this week. Just the energy all week has been great. It's been amazing just meeting so many other business owners and startups, and then today's just been especially exciting to sit down with all of them and talk, get a chance to talk with them on the radio.
Yes. So with that, let's have you introduce our guests, and we'll kick off a conversation and put the spotlight in their direction.
Perfect. Okay. So today we have with us Forbes Shannon of Exo Sprints and Naveen Sydney with Hyperfield. Welcome, you guys.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Hi. Thank you.
Naveen, you're up from Tucson, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
Well, how are we so lucky that we got to have you make that drive up to the Metro Phoenix area to participate? What's special about Startup Week for you? I know you were in and out of town this week, you mentioned.
Yes, flew in from Boston last night. So quite the weather change, but happy to be here.
Good. Do you tend to spend a lot of time in the Metro Phoenix area?
We do, mostly because we also have a small little satellite office here. So we go back and forth. We're a very virtual company. So, yes, and we come to Phoenix a lot. We love coming here as well.
Well, tell us a little bit about your company. Give us that introduction, and who do you serve?
So we are a software company, and I'm the CTO and founder of Hyperfield. Most of our customers tend to be big enterprises. So we give them specialized software for asset maintenance. So any big company that has a lot of heavy assets that's expensive to maintain, expensive to manufacture, that's out on the field. Imagine an aircraft or a radar system or utilities. We write software very specialized in that area with IoT sensors, with augmented reality, just day-to-day supply chain stuff. We help them with that. We also do a lot of boutique consulting for the C-level of corporations to help them analyze and utilize emerging technologies and making sure that they don't go down this rabbit hole with emerging tech. So like blockchain or AI, people hear buzzwords.
They think, I got to be a part of that. And then next thing you know.
they're writing $100,000 checks to
and go. Not getting where they need to go.
Absolutely.
How often do you hear that when people come to you and they're just deflated because they've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars and it didn't take them where they thought that they need to go?
Well, one of the crucial stuff with any emerging technology is identifying if there's a fit in your business, right? Not just doing it for the sake of doing it. Sometimes there is value if you're in the commercial sector and the other company's doing it, you might want to do it just to show you're competitive. That's almost like two gas stations price matching, right? There you have to. But when you're in a very regulated and a controlled enterprise, you shouldn't fall for these gimmicks. And that's where we come in and we help them.
Very good. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
And Forbes, how about with Exo Sprints? Tell us a little bit about that.
And before you do, we also want to hear about this great project you're working on. So I don't know where it all fits in, but feel free to take it wherever you want it to go. I'm excited to hear.
So it all kind of goes hand in hand. Exo Sprints is a consulting program that my partner and I put together that works on working with businesses and helping them achieve exponential growth. The best way to think of it is if you think of a sample linear graph, then you think of a sample exponential graph, you know that the exponential graph is going to get way bigger. The exponential companies are the Lyfts, the Ubers, the Apples, the Amazons, the Googles, the people that are running the show, they're all exponential. So what we do is we put on these 12-week sprints that help companies get to the exponential level. And another part of that project that, you know, you were alluding to, we're actually co-authoring a book together called Reimagining Innovation and Focusing on the Exponential Innovation. My co-author is Aaron Baer. He is the entrepreneur in residence at Singularity University. And he's also the VP of sales at Kitty Hawk, which is a drone company that he's working with.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So these are a lot of his thoughts. And I was a writing fellow in university, and we met teaching startup school together at Skysong, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was like, hey, man, you got the ideas, and I can write, so let's do this thing together.
It's a great partnership.
Yeah, definitely.
It really has worked out. Yeah.
Very good. That's exciting. And when do you anticipate that the book will be out and available?
Well, we thought the book was going to be out a while ago.
Most authors can say that.
Yeah. No, we're working on it right now. We just really want to make sure that it's the best book that we can do.
Yeah.
But simultaneously, the whole nature of the exponential organization is that it changes in a day.
Yep.
You know, sometimes I'm writing something that's just obsolete in a week. So we're working right now on getting our first copy out there and then figuring out how we can update with later versions so that we stay the most relevant.
We've got two fascinating businesses here. I'm excited to hear about this. Now, you had mentioned that you travel.
Right.
And Boston, was that right?
Yes.
Most recent trip.
Yep.
And these are large enterprises that you work with.
Correct.
And I love that you gave us a few examples of the different kinds of industries that you serve. When someone gets ready to put some, they know they need to connect with you. What's the first step in doing that? Is it usually referral? Is it a phone call? Do they find you on the web? How does that magic take place so that people land and they know they want to shake hands and work with you?
So a lot of the industries that we work with is very regulated. So a lot of this comes from them knowing that we've done this in the past. And, you know, because there's a lot of wickets that we have to clear to make sure that we can execute. So when we're dealing with that industry, there's a lot of that we have to absolutely make sure. Again, a lot of it is referral. Now, we also, on the other side, we work with a lot of young startups. That was the reason for us being here. The energy level in the startup is amazing, right?
Because especially here in Arizona.
And we're so optimistic.
We are.
And we are not in the Silicon Valley, so we don't have that little sense of arrogance, if I can say that.
I agree. I think it's safe. You're nodding your head yes or no.
I think you'll find plenty of arrogance.
But, I mean, I have also worked in the Silicon Valley. I was there during the whole dot-com bubble, so I have something to compare it to, and I and the energy level is awesome, and it's so fun to work with people who know and they believe that they can do it, and they're adding value.
And that's so true. Something I was thinking about, you know, being at Startup Week all week, then all the people I've met, a lot of people become friends outside of Startup Week, but I don't have anything in common with them other than interest in entrepreneurship. You know, people that I wouldn't really be interested or really, really have anything in common with outside of this, we become close because we still have those. It's kind of like a crazy brain, I think, the
yep.
entrepreneur.
Yep.
Yes.
The brain of a hustler.
Yeah.
You know.
You finally found someone who can follow along with you.
Right,
like,
right.
Yay.
Someone that gets me. Yeah.
You'll love this. I was in Park City last weekend with my high school girlfriend. There's about eight of us. I grew up here in Tempe, nearby city. And usually eight of us still see each other. And it's been 35, almost 40 years, I think. Anyway, she is in business for herself as well. And nobody else in our little circle of friends understands either of us. And we were there for her birthday weekend. And I text her and I'm like, look, I'm going to have to work for at least 2 or 3 hours. She's like, oh, thank God. I have to work as well. And we were happy as can be watching the snow fall, coffee up until about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then wine kicked in from 2 on with the fire going. And we really... Every once in a while, one of us would just throw out an idea. She's an interior designer. I run a radio studio. So, like, there's no, like you were saying, there's no connection other than caring deeply about the people that we serve and what we're putting out there. And it was magical. So much so that she's like, hey, do you want to come do this once a quarter where we can step away, right? And it's lovely. So, different than what you've described by these new friendships flourishing. But I don't know that everybody understands an entrepreneur or business owner.
You know, another place where I find this similar kind of energy is in high school.
That's a great point. I totally agree with that. Yeah. Yeah.
And I forgot I was in high school once. Right?
It was just a couple years. No, you and me both.
And he talks about hustling, right? So as a startup company ourselves, we're always hustling, right? We were going to go to a defense conference in December, and we needed this two-minute video, right? So we went to a production company and said, hey, can you do this video for us? Yeah, for 10 grand. And I'm going, for 10 grand? I'm going to have to rob a bank. Right? So then we said, okay, let's go talk to the university, right? And we were too small for the university, right? So we said, fine, I'll go to the high school. So I went and did this as a project with the high schoolers, right? And 6 weeks later, we have this amazing video that we used through the entire conference, right? And we now have it on our website.
Oh, that's amazing.
Now those kids won't let me go away.
What can we do?
They want to do more.
Right. Yeah. And they brought me back and they want me to teach them project management, right? So I'm back there every Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever day of the week, helping through that. And I'm learning more from them than I'm teaching them. Because once you're out in the industry, once you face the real world, your perception, your level of excitement gets somehow molded by the outside elements. When you're in high school, everyone thinks that they're going to be the next president or the next Einstein, right? They have no limits and they should not, right? And that's what being a startup entrepreneur is like. Right. And that's why here you come here, you have the level of excitement. Everyone's almost giddy. Right.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, who opened the wine bottle? Right. And I'm sorry.
I think entrepreneurs are, I think they're actually pretty similar to like drug addicts in the sense that they're pretty delusional. And then I think entrepreneurs and drug addicts both look at everything around them and their first thought is, can I sell that?
Oh my God. Was that a rehearsed little line? Have you used that one before?
I've thought about it before.
I love
sure.
it. Well, here you heard
he
it.
He was like,
first.
I can't wait to use this when I'm on the radio sometime.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
I did one of the breakout sessions just about an hour ago on the art of the connected conversation. And the thing I started off by saying was when I opened up the hour was you can either be an ass or you can kick ass.
Yeah.
To the point that we are so enthusiastic. We have to have moxie. We have to have know-how when we're in the startup grind, and we are in the grind. We want to have everybody hear about what we're doing. We want to get out there and we put it out there. But we have to be willing, to your point earlier, to sit back and know when to listen and when to learn. And how great that obviously you've been doing that with all the folks you've been meeting as a volunteer, as well as someone showing up in the space to just meet and connect. And you with your high school students, both of you giving back in different ways. It's so important that we do that. Otherwise, we get in a silo. Mm-hmm. And we are. We're blinded by what we think reality is, and it is not reality.
Well, it's interesting how I got involved in Startup Week. So this is my second year at Startup Week, and this is my first year as an organizer, helping manage most of the volunteers. But the reason I got involved last year, I went to go volunteer, and they kept having, you know, they would tell me to go do something, I'd go do it, and then the core team would get together and they would talk about the real problems that they had. And I kept hanging out, and they were like, oh, we don't need you for this. And I was like, yeah, but I'm still going to be here. I'm gonna make you want me to be a part of your team. But that's what we've been seeing so much about this conference this year, is that the buy-in that we are getting from everybody. I've had attendees who, they were like, you know what? I went to the two sessions I wanted to go to this morning. Can I just stay and volunteer? And it's like, yeah. And you know what? You'll get a second shirt for that.
Ooh, that's awesome. Really great.
Yeah.
So one of the fun questions that we've been asking today in these little mini interviews is, at the end of the day, say you go home and you're with your girlfriend or you're with your friends or, you know, talking to your dog, whoever it is, but you feel a sense of pride about who you've helped and what they've achieved. What is the best compliment and the best thing that someone, when they're saying thank you, would say to you? How would you describe that? Your clients, what do they say when they're like, my God, thank you? And then what's after that? What have you done for them?
So a lot of the stuff that we work, again, enterprises, right? So they don't thank you as much as you would with an individual. Right, you don't get that level of satisfaction as, let's say, you're helping a small business, right? the founder, the owner at the end of the project will come down and tell you, express how much you've actually helped their business, their bottom line, right? But when you're working at a big enterprise, you have to take that satisfaction from somewhere else.
And so that's why I'm asking the question the way I'm asking it. And I love that you helped explain with the companies and the enterprises that you're working with, it isn't like that always. When do you feel satisfied? How do you know then when you've done a great job for your clients?
So we are lucky enough where we can be picky about what customers that we choose. So I only pick projects that I have a personal association with, that I see there's a need or some good value out of it. So some of the customers that we work with focus on war fighters, right? And I have a vested interest in that. So I work on that knowing that in some way, shape, or form, right, I've helped someone.
Yeah.
And it's not about getting appreciated for it, mm-hmm. but knowing that there's an intrinsic value in what we've provided.
Right.
To kind of go off that, when I like choose who I get to work with and stuff like that, sure, a lot of it is about who can I help, but a lot of it is like, who can I surprise? You know, who can I single out? Who's going to think that I'm going to do a so-so job, and then I can come back to them with an awesome job and have them be like, wow, okay. Because that's cooler to me than most thank yous, is when someone's like, wow, this was even better than I could have asked for. That's what I look for.
Under promise and over deliver, right?
Yeah. Our CEO would love you. He says that all the time.
Yeah, very good. Oh my gosh. What other questions do you have, Jacqueline? Can you think of anything?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you had touched on it a little bit as far as your involvement with Startup Week this year. You said last year you were a volunteer. This year, did you have more of a role in planning this year? Or?
Oh, I'm getting paid so much more this year. No,
you got 3 t-shirts.
Yeah, exactly.
And an extra cookie.
this year, Mike Jones and Kate Rogers, you know, they did an open casting call for anyone that wanted to be on the core team. And that was the first time that we've done that. And so they went and they interviewed everyone. I said that I wanted to come in. I have a background in coordinating volunteers. I have a degree in nonprofit management. They touch
awesome.
A lot on that. So I was like, hey, I'll take care of the volunteers. You don't even have to worry about that.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, okay, perfect.
Done.
We don't want to have to worry about that.
That's really good.
Yeah, but I think that the plan is to do that again the next year. And what we amongst the core team keep saying every morning, we come in every morning, we're pumped. We're like, it's day 3, it's day 4, it's day 5. Somehow it's still only day 5 for me. but what we keep saying is like, man, if this was a company and it hired this team, this would be a killer company. Because we had come from every other sector. We are all total strangers, and now we're all best friends.
Yeah.
This has been my best experience of 2019, for sure.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love it. And the feedback we've heard has been amazing. I have not been able to come until today. But Jacqueline has been sharing how much she's enjoyed it the last couple of days. And just looking on Twitter and LinkedIn and even Facebook for that matter, everybody has been saying this has been just the best year.
So would you say you were surprised?
I was surprised.
Because that's what we're going for.
I was pleasantly surprised. And I've got to be honest, I've never been a participant for Startup Week before. So to be able to come and not only be a speaker, but also to be able to do a live broadcast, I feel very fortunate. And the energy is palpable. It's just been fantastic. Is this your first year coming?
This is my first year. Last year, we could not make it. And I have to say, the organization and the way they handled it, it's tremendous.
Said from a project manager.
And I've been,
thank you. Thank you.
And I've been to other events like this, right? And also, I know this is a, not for profit, but I'm an exhibitor, right? For $1,000, what you get for it is tremendous value, right? And also, you know, parking, the way to, just simple things, right? It just really helped. And we've had so much fun being here. But I do have another question for you, though, Forbes. So you were talking about exponential sprints, right? It seems almost like every company needs it, but there's also best fit, right? So just give me an example. Where will be a best fit for that?
Well, not every company is really built for it. There's some key components to an exponential organization that have been outlined a lot through the work by authors published from Singularity University. Particularly, you need to build something that's on a platform that's rapidly scalable, something that you can have staff on demand, something that you manage to keep like such a minimal overhead, but you possess the ability to go to infinity with exponential. Like you consider the cost for Lyft to add a car to their fleet as compared to a taxi cab company.
Right.
It's zero.
Yep.
You know, someone signs up online. Boom, done, right? they just added staff to there. So you have to build a platform and you have to be able to fulfill the exponential promise. I mean, you look at these scooters that are all over the place. You look out the window, there's some scooters over there, right? That's super easy for them. All you have to do is, they don't have any employees that you have to call to talk to about the scooters. They set the scooters out there. These scooters need to be charged. Are they going to hire people to do that? No, nope, we'll just pay you $5 a scooter. You know. So when it comes to a best fit, not every business can be exponential. But if you look at the way that you want to innovate and you want to solve problems, mm-hmm. every innovation can be exponential if you build it the right way the first time.
So would you say this is a crucial step in a lot of founders before they start, right? They have a problem statement, and before we jump with the engineering mind going off and building a solution for it, to go through this critical design thinking process, which says, okay, I'm not just solving this process for this localized view with a microscopic vision, but with a more global vision, because everything is scaling at such a rapid rate.
You look at companies like Amazon and Apple, the $1 trillion companies, and what they did is they gave permission to everyone else to make a $1 trillion company.
Yes.
It was totally unthought of. And then they started doing it. And then everyone's like, oh, well, we need to do that or else we're dead. So it's just changing the way we broke a whole new ceiling. Amazon said, look, you can do much more than you thought you could do before. The incremental sales that were awesome sale numbers to hit in the 80s and 90s, you hit those now in the exponential world, you're failing.
Right.
Yeah, excellent question. You're hired. a great radio host. This has been a lot of fun. I know that we could keep talking for a long time, and certainly the two of you could. Thank you for making time for us today. I would love for each of you to share how people can find you. Are you on LinkedIn personally, and can we connect with you there? And then also, how do we find you and your business?
Our website is hyperfield.com.
Hyperfield.com.
And you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm very active in our space, Naveen Sydney. And yeah, I would love to collaborate. Just look me up.
Excellent. Hey.
Mine's a little bit less formal, I guess. I am on LinkedIn, Forbes Shannon, but the best way to connect with me is on Instagram at Forbes5, F-I-V-E, Hundo, H-U-N-D-O.
All
I'm
right.
not related to Forbes, but I have the name, so
but
I
sure
just got to keep going.
As well.
So.
Yeah, you can't
and
go
I don't
that.
Know if it's less formal. I think it's more it's where more people are hanging out that
right.
you can be of great benefit to.
Right.
Yeah, so much fun, huh, Jacqueline?
This was great. Thank you so much.
We enjoy being here. This is good.
I'm glad. Well, you're going to have to come back to the studio. And I already told you need to meet up with Mark Bishop down in the Tucson Radio X as well. Again, you've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio. My name is Karen Nowicki, and I'm the host for the Phoenix Startup Week, along with my co-host, Jacqueline Destrems, with another Hen Advantage. And Jacqueline also has her show 3C Amplified out of our studio twice a month, right?
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Well, again, we've had a great pleasure being here today, and we totally enjoyed introducing you to these fine business owners and entrepreneurs. Bye for now.